Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
We're going to look ahead to some of the best TV and cinema releases for the month ahead, and I'm joined in the studio by producer and director Brian Redden and freelance arts journalist Aoife Barry. Lovely to see you both. Hacks is back on Now TV. You really like this, Aoife.
I love this, and I'm just always trying to encourage people to watch Hacks because I think it kind of flies a little bit under the radar in Ireland. Like in America, it's won Emmys. You know, people are huge, big fans of the two stars in it. Jean Smart, who is an icon, and Hannah Einbender, who is like a young, soon-to-be icon, amazing comedian, and they play a really great like team of women. So basically the plot behind it is that Ava Daniels is this, she's played by Hannah Einbinder, is this young upstart comedian who gets kind of kicked out of her job because she says some bad stuff on Twitter, and she ends up being the assistant to Deborah Vance, who is this kind of Las Vegas queen, this longtime comedian who's got a, you know, a long reputation but maybe a little bit old in the tooth. And the idea is that Ava is going to help Deborah get her career back up to scratch. And this is the fourth season. And you would think, how does, you know, a series in these days go to four seasons, still be worth watching, not going to be scraping the bottom of the barrel? And it's because it's got brilliant writing. The dynamic between the two women goes from, you know, friends to enemies constantly, but in a very understandable way. They're not characters that you're going to fall in love with instantly. They both have their issues, but they're really, really funny. It's really short. There's only like 25 minutes per episode. The seasons are compact. And now we're on season four. They've got to the point where Deborah has her dream, which is a late night TV show. And Ava basically blackmails her to get the role as her lead writer on the show. So the two of them are at loggerheads but need each other to survive in the cutthroat world of the Hollywood industry. So if you haven't watched it,
sold that very well. I think I watched season one and I've lost track of it, so I've got to go back now and watch two and three, and then we're on to four. But you're a fan as well, Brian, aren't you?
I love it. Jean Smart, like, it's just so good in it. And Jean Smart, an actress who's been around for a long time and plays, always kind of played smaller parts in bigger movies. She really shines in this. She's essentially playing Joan Rivers.
Yeah, that's essentially, who she is.
So it's that kind of a character. But what I like about it is, you know, people always say about Seinfeld, Seinfeld's mantra was always, which is one of my favourite sitcoms of all time, its mantra was always, no lessons, no hugs. Mm. You know, and this is very much like that. As you were saying, like, in this season, you know, the two of them like each other, but they also hate each other, right? And in this season, you don't get a warm, huggy feeling at the end of every episode.
No,
you don't.
And in fact, when you do, they flip the script on you constantly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like the Deborah character, she's horrible and she does horrible things.
Yeah.
And she's just mean and she's nasty. And you shouldn't like her. But you know, inside there's a really nice person trying to get out, but she won't let it out. And every time she almost does, she just reverts back to being this horrible, horrible woman.
But she's been made coarse by the career.
Well, that's it.
You know?
Oh, definitely. It's a lot of gender and age stuff that's discussed here. This idea of that she had to like kick and scream her way through her career, and you know, then Ava arrives standing on the shoulders of the women who have created comedy to be a place where, you know, it's certainly not equal, but where women can have big roles. And Ava's like, hang on, just get with the program. And Deborah Vance is saying, well, hang on, I had to really push to get here, and you better take it seriously. So it really, you know, interrogates. So it's been a really funny way. Some of the lines in it will have you hooting, laughing.
Like, a lot of the characters around her, like her agent, is very funny. You know, the agent's assistant. Since she's also her co-age now. They're all very well-written characters and they're very funny. And it's, as you say, it's a nice short little episodes, 24, 25 minutes. And it's like, it's on Now TV. I think T.G. Carr have the first couple of seasons of it now as well. It was hard to find it for a long time.
Season three took ages to get to the screen. So now that we have season four in Ireland, get watching it, become a big Hacks fan like us.
Well, the next one we're going to talk about, Poker Face, has a similar kind of vibe, and it's been really heavily promoted because the cast this season is very starry, isn't it?
It really is. And I mean, the main person in it is Natasha Lyonne, and I just love watching her on screen. Like, in a way, she kind of plays the same character. You know, she's in like Russian Doll, and one of my favourite series of the last kind of 10 years or so. She's, you know, everything she's in, Orange is the New Black, she's this kind of, you know, gritty woman with this really cool New York accent. And in this, she plays a person called Charlie Cale, who, in kind of like a Columbo idea, she solves crimes in every episode and the viewer knows what has happened at the start of it. So just in like Columbo, you see the murder happen and then you see her trying to unravel it. And Charlie has this particular skill where she can understand if somebody is lying to her, but she doesn't know what the truth is. So she's trying to unravel a different mystery in each one. And what's interesting in this season is they've really ramped up the caliber of the guest stars, and they were pretty amazing in series one. So you've got, you know, Cynthia Erivo, who plays Quintuplets. So she's got got five roles there. Melanie Lynskey, you know, you've got Rhea Perlman, isn't it, as well? Camille Nanjiani. And the idea as well, too, is that we've got Rian Johnson, who is from, or Rian Johnson from Star Wars, you know, Glass Onion, for example. He is a director, he's an executive producer on this, but he's a director who loves the old school kind of mystery. He loves the golden age of mystery. He loves the 70s mystery style TV shows. So he's got that influence on it where it looks great, the characters are great, and you're really with Natasha Lyonne's character as she's trying to unravel it all and kind of get her life back on track, because she's a bit of a kind of a, she's kind of wasting her life in many ways. But yeah. And also her whoever does the costumes, the clothes in it are fantastic. So
and nice short-ish episodes as well.
Short, they can go up to an hour, but they don't overstay their welcome, I'll say that much, because you've got the setup of the initial murder, and then you have the kind of solution, you know, to the murder. So you've got two parts in a way to each.
Duration's important when you're getting up early in the morning, you know, you want something in bite-sized chunks.
Exactly.
Which is what we have now in the next one, the four seasons, which I'm watching at the moment. I have one more episode to go. I've just devoured it because it's great crack.
It is. I love it. Mm. It's number one on Netflix now, Stream of the Month. So it's eight half-hour episodes. It's getting kind of mixed reviews, but I mean, I'd be on the positive side of it. I really enjoyed it. First of all, I enjoyed the movie it was based on. So the movie way back in 1981, I remember that when Alan Alda brought that out. So Alan Alda, who also makes an appearance in this, wrote and directed a film called The Four Seasons, roughly based on The Four Seasons. And they use Vivaldi's music all the way throughout it. That's where it gets the name from. And the basic premise is that three married couples have known each other since they were in high school together, or college together rather, go on vacation, and they all love each other and they're all great mates and all that. And then one of the couples break up and get divorced, and the husband brings along a much younger girl, and that upsets the balance and the dynamic in the group. That's what the original film was all about. The series is exactly the same thing, with one major difference that we won't give away because it's a major spoiler. But apart from that major, they've updated it a little bit. One of the couples is now gay, which wasn't the case in the original. But essentially, you've got these three couples, all known each other for a very long time. Steve Carell's character decides he's going to divorce his wife, and he brings a young girl into the mix. And then what you have then is a kind of a comedy of errors, really, where the couples are kind of reassess their own relationships. The guys are jealous of this young woman in this guy's life. He's living his just brand new life. But then who do you side with? Do you side with the husband? Do you side with the wife? The wife that he has left has now been left out of the group. They want to bring her back in. So there's all this going on. But it's really interesting. And I like it a lot. It's, I mean, because all the characters in it, in their mid-50s, and been married for 25 years. And a lot of it is about how marriage is just becomes, not that you get into a rut in it, but that you become so familiar with each other that maybe, you know, where this guy's bringing in this young girl, it's all romantic and it's exciting and it's in this honeymoon period. They don't have that anymore. They've settled into an ordinary kind of zone. Mm-hmm. But sometimes that's okay. Sometimes that's what marriage and love and life is all about. So that's kind of the theme of the whole thing. Yeah. And I kind of like that.
I enjoyed it. I mean, you were saying earlier, no hugs and no lessons. There are a few hugs and a few lessons in it, and you have to sort of get past that. It can be a little bit icky at times.
Yeah.
But it's a good watch, I found it.
It is. And like Tina Fey, I find Tina Fey kind of hit and miss. Like, I loved 30 Rock, the best thing she's ever done. Since then, I haven't been a huge fan of hers. And she can be a bit schmaltzy and she can be a bit silly, and the humour can be a bit silly. But I think she nails it with this. As you say, there is a bit of schmaltz in it, absolutely. But, you know, if you open yourself up to that and just sit back and relax and enjoy it, I think you'll really, really go with it.
Who's the actor who plays her husband in this?
Will Forte. Yeah, he's usually just a comedian.
Again,
so it's
but they're mostly comedians. Yeah. But the original film was that too, because the original film had Alan Alda, known for MASH, and Carol Burnett, also a comedian. So it's interesting that they've gone. So you've got, you know, Will Forte, Saturday Night Live, Tina Fey, and Steve Carell, all comics, playing very serious roles. But the guy who steals it is Coleman Domingo.
He's just so good. I'm not as big a fan of the series as the two of you. I have to say, my mom watched it, and we were kept looking at each other towards the like fifth and sixth episode saying, what is happening? But Coleman Domingo and his amazing wardrobe and his kind of joie de vivre. And he also directs at least one episode of it too.
So
he's a really good reason to watch it. But I do think Tina Fey isn't on her best form writing-wise in it. I'm sorry. I think some of the jokes should have been worked out better, but I'm not Tina Fey, so
I just enjoyed. Sometimes you have a shot of the six of them reacting to an event, and it's always Will Forte's face that I'm attracted to.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to say anything; he just gets it. He's incredible.
And you kind of have to buy into that. So I mean, they go on holiday, they go on vacation four times a year together to the most amazing locations.
And he's a teacher, and you're kind of going, "How's he
affording that?" Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So once you get over that,
none of them is a freelancer, definitely.
No, definitely not. So once you get over that, but it's good. It's very watchable. And the thing about it is, you know, you'll sit down and watch one episode. episode, you'd be five in before you know it.
I know,
like,
they're
you know?
Quick, they're quick. Yeah. And it's number one on Netflix. That's the Four Seasons. If you haven't caught up with that, worth doing it now. A new Netflix series, Forever. This is inspired by Judy Blume's book from 1975,
I know,
for young adults. What's going on here?
50 years old. And you know, this book, if anybody, I mean, I think most people, you know, teenage girls growing up to probably the late 90s, early 2000s, were handed the Judy Blume books, even now probably handed them, because they were always capturing a moment in time for teenagers and what it was like to fall in love and to have relationships. And even though they're very much of their time, they were, you know, particularly kind of books that were very precious, I think, to young girls. When I was growing up, Forever was the one that was the kind of more adult books. It was definitely going from the teenage kind of crushes to something a lot more serious. And it's a book that's been on many lists in America in terms of being challenged in school libraries, which is kind of ridiculous because it's a very kind of basic book, but it is a bit more of a risque read. And now we finally have a TV version of this. It's going to be a series starring Lovie Simone and Michael Cooper Jr., not hugely well-known kind of young actors. The two teenagers, they become each other's first love, and we follow their journey, kind of, you know, the back and forth of what it's like to be young, be a teenager, to fall in love, to, you know, not know if the person loves you, to deal with all of these adult questions that come with it. Judy Blume's an executive producer. I think that's a good sign that you get the kind of sign off. It's very much updated. It's set in 2018, I think, in Los Angeles. So you've got more of that modern take, and, you know, they have iPhones. They're not going to be obsessed with the same minutiae of things that people were back in the mid 70s. So yeah, it'll be really interesting, probably for your younger viewers, I would think. Maybe adults might find they're a little bit too old for it. But, you know, Judy Blume is having a renaissance, and I think, you know, there was a documentary about her, you know, a couple of years ago. There was also a remake of Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, or a film version of that book. So I think, you know, she's having a renaissance, and I think her core message of, like, understanding teenagers and, you know, being empathic towards them is a lovely one we can still carry through
today. That's out tomorrow on
the 8th of May, exactly.
Netflix.
Tomorrow
on
Netflix.
It's called Forever on Netflix. Brian, you're next one. I don't know if I can watch this. This is Netflix again. Yeah. It's a documentary series on Fred and Rosemary West.
Yes, I recommend this with caution because, you know, Netflix do these true crime things really well. So if you like them, I think you'll probably like this one. It's on May 14th on Netflix, and it's called Fred and Rose West, A British Horror Story. And it is a horror story. I was reading the background to it, and I remember the story, and I remember, you know, all the revelations about it. But it is pretty grim. It's pretty grim watching and pretty grim reading. But I think what's interesting about this, so, I mean, for people who don't know, they're Britain's most prolific serial killers. They were a married couple who, between the years of 1967 and 1987, murdered 12 young women and buried them in their garden and under the basement in the house. And of course, both of them were eventually caught. He killed himself in prison. She's still in prison to this day. So there's been movies made about these guys. There's been lots of documentaries made about them. So you'd think, what else is there to say? But what I think was interesting about this, and they were horrific monsters. I mean, from the abuse they get to their own family to complete strangers, it would be very difficult to watch. Except this, I believe, is told from the point of view of the families of the victims. So like, quite often the 12 people who were murdered get overlooked, and Fred and West are glamorised a little bit. Not quite glamorised, but you know what I mean. In this case, they're looking at the families of the victims for the very first time get a chance to speak up. So you kind of understand who they were, and it kind of, you know, basically you get to understand,
so,
and you get to know who the victims
were. Really,
so for that, and also
the
apparently
victims.
they've introduced, they have all these audio recordings from the original interviews with the two killers, and they have footage of the initial investigation that has never been seen before. Everybody always says they've got something that's never been seen and never been heard before, but it seems to be the case in this. But I think they've taken it from the point of view of the families of the victims, and that's different. So it's not glamorising these two evil, horrible people, and it's only three parts, so it'll be a difficult watch, but I think it'll be kind of fascinating.
Okay, that's out on the 14th of May on Netflix. And then finally, Aoife, a word for The Surfer, which is directed by Lorcan Finnegan. Our own Lorcan Finnegan.
Exactly. Irish director. People will know his films like Vivarium, Nocebo, Without Name. And this one's really interesting because he's got Nicolas Cage as the star of the film, which is a real coup for an Irish director. And it was also filmed in Australia. Basically, Nicolas Cage plays a man who goes to the childhood beach that he used to surf on when he was a young kid. Goes there to surf with his son, but he's humiliated by a group of locals. Anybody who's seen Nicolas Cage in any film will know that he's a man who's very kind of intense when it comes to his role. So you can imagine the reaction of this character. He's drawn into this big conflict. It pushes him to breaking point. I've seen little clips of it, and it's really Nick Cage in fine form. And it was described as a gloriously demented B-movie thriller by The Guardian. So people might have seen it at some film festivals recently. I think it was on at DIFF, but it's in the cinemas from the 9th of May.
The Surfer. Thank you both so much, Aoife and Brian. We'll catch up again soon. We'll take a break.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.